I'll go ahead and have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Then let me explain that. Now, last Sunday morning, I preached a message out of Galatians called the Calling of Grace, all right? And then I said I'd be finishing that, and I didn't mean for you to think I would do that this morning, but I was finishing it tonight. The idea is that I preached the message, and you know, the first point was there's such a thing as sheltering grace, which is, you know, Jesus Christ as a child was, had the grace of God upon him, undoubtedly protecting him. Most of us can go back to our time in our lives when we were lost and goofing off and messed up and stuff, that God just protected drunks and little kids, you know, that kind of stuff. It's the grace of God. There's also the salvation of grace. There's also the source of grace, of course, which is the Bible. Now, really, the burden of the message comes tonight because we kind of had to superficially go through the fact that there's a lot of grace that applies to the Christian life, not just getting saved. And I wanted to go deeper into that tonight. You've heard this, some of you, in some form or other. This is a little bit more thorough. It's kind of more of a Bible study tonight than anything else. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, let me take you there for a second. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And every man hath received the gift, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So we're supposed to be stewards of the grace of God that God gives us. And I want to show you tonight some ways that works in the Christian life, not just to save you, okay, but having to do with the grace that you need to just get through life on. Let me also take you to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And I'll show you another one here real quick, and then we'll try to fold these into categories, and I hope that you can come out of this knowing that we are all very dependent and we all need to be good stewards of the grace of God that comes to us, not just for salvation, but for a lot of other things. Hebrews chapter 12, you'll notice down in verse, I think I can start reading in verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Then it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So you've been given the grace of God. He says, now don't fail of the grace of God, because the grace of God should bring you through so that you don't wind up bitter, right? The grace of God will do that, but you can't. You have a part in that. You're a steward of it, and you can fail at it if you want to. So we're not talking about salvation here. We're not talking about losing your salvation, anything like that. We're talking about making sure that you understand some things that grace does that doesn't involve just being saved. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll get started. Father, thank you this night for a chance to stand up and expand a little bit more on what we started the other day. I pray this might be a help to somebody, Father. Really, we sing songs sometimes, and we realize that the old-timers, the old hymn writers, and old Christian writers oftentimes understood this better than many of us do. Like I said, most usually folks think about grace as being something that saves us, and it is. But, Lord, we have very manifold need of your grace on a daily basis, every single one of us. So I pray you'd help us in these things. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is called the stewardship of grace then. And I want to expand on what we just introduced. Let me take you back, if I could, to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now again, you're going to be turning a lot tonight for just a little while. 1 Peter 4, a little more of a Bible study than it is something else. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, let's pick up starting with verse 7, where Peter is giving us warning that the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity is a species of love that Christians have one for another. No matter what the world says, according to the Bible, the world doesn't have charity. It's us Christians that have charity amongst ourselves, okay? In verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So what I get, I should be able to minister to you and with you as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So many things come to us in this life, and as one body together, as the body of Christ, and of course in a local church setting, all of us together, we all ought to be able to minister one to another. We ought to be good stewards of the gifts God's given us. So let's look at this as differing gifts, first of all. You see, back in verse 10, it mentions you've received the gift. Back in verse 8, it mentions having fervent charity among yourselves. In verse 9, it's talking about hospitality. So this is not necessarily an apostolic gift or some special gift of the Spirit. It's as much as anything, like in the case of hospitality. It's like some people are naturally just kind of given to being more hospitable than others. Some people are nicer than other people. Just there, it's in the wiring. We're not necessarily talking about a gift of the Spirit here. And I just want to say that, you know, we start talking about gifts and stuff, and somebody thinks he's the funniest guy in the room. The Lord doesn't need any more dancers. Doesn't need any more comedians or anything like that. But, you know, Lord sure can use some kind people. Lord sure can use some folks that have, well, grace with one another. And so gifts that way. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me take and show you another form of it. But we're still talking about differing gifts. Ephesians chapter 4. Some people's testimony before they got saved, the way they lived and what they did. I think about somebody in the military or somebody with great experience in something equips them to really be a help to other people. And that's not so much a spiritual gift as it is just experience. It's character. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you got that by the grace of God. He might have trained you as a military man or some such thing like that, or a doctor when you were lost, then you get saved. And now you have the opportunity to use it for somebody else's benefit. Okay, that's being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Now look in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4. And it says here, but unto every one of us, verse 7, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. We know he did that. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And notice in the context then of gifts, having skipped, you know, skip the parenthesis, he's talking about gifts. And he gave some gifts, right? He gave some apostles and some prophets. So some gifts were the apostles, some gifts were the prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're talking about the stewardship of grace. We're talking about the fact that God has put people in each one of our lives. Maybe it's just another brother in Christ. Again, somebody that has more patience than you. Somebody that is more kind than you, a better diplomat than you. And they're a help to you because they're encouraging, right? Somebody more encouraging than you. Maybe you're a sourpuss and the glass is always empty. And they say, no, it's half full. We can use some more of that, right? Okay, in this case, this has to do with the grace being given in gifts to men who can teach and can preach. Some people are missionaries and so on and so forth. Not everybody is called to that. But since the Lord put that in your life, you should be a good steward of what the Lord put in your life. Now, you don't have to walk very far to find some people that go to churches with, and I'm, please don't think that I'm trying to lift myself up here, but bad pastors, right? Okay, if you have a decent one, if, you ought to be a good steward of that gift that was given. Let me show you another thing along this line, Romans chapter 12. I'm talking here about differing gifts. God gives us each other. And, you know, once in a while you can pause and look around and think about, you know, how different our church would be if somebody never came in or was suddenly gone, if somebody just suddenly died. I'm not trying to pick on anybody or anything like that, but you think about that and you think about how somebody in church that's always encouraging to you, that always is someone that you enjoy being around, and think having that removed from your life suddenly. Think about how you would miss that. Okay, that is a stewardship. Somebody is doing what they're supposed to do for the Lord, and they're a blessing to you. And you ought to be a good steward of the same gifts that God's given you to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, it says in Romans chapter 12, it says down here in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. We know that's an apostolic gift, so that's not working for this age right now. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to each man severally as he will. Now he called that grace earlier. And again, I'm not trying to focus on, you know, the charismatic Pentecostal gifts so much as I'm trying to get you to see that God's probably given you something he didn't give me. And probably God has given her something that he didn't give you. And we're supposed to be able to minister to each other. And you need to be personally, if you receive something like that, if you are that person that's really patient, that's really known for your graciousness, for your hospitality, then be a good steward of that gift. And if you can minister to me, I ought to be a good steward of the fact and be grateful for the fact that God put you in my life to be able to be an encouragement to me. Let me show you something else that I'd like to point out to you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're talking about the grace of God given to Christians. We're called to be good stewards of that grace. Whether it's something God put in our lives or someone God put in our lives. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's read here for just a minute. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So there are some graces that can be received in vain, and right away, of course, it's people that think they can lose their salvation jump on that, but that's not what it's talking about. It goes on to say, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But then it goes on to add, because that was a parenthesis. All of verse 2 is a parenthesis. Okay? Having just said that you receive not the grace of God in vain, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. That is telling you that part of the grace of God that you receive is the opportunity to minister to somebody. Okay? And that you all, everybody here has a role as far as dealing with the Lord's people about various things. You know what this boils down to? This is the grace given so that you can live right. In verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. We all ought to be aware that we are ambassadors for Christ back in 2 Corinthians 5. That we are all in one form or another actually in the ministry. And so that your whole life should be built around being an ambassador for Jesus Christ and representing Jesus Christ as you should. And that's the grace of God that's been entrusted to you as a steward. And you should use that as best you could, as best you can. It goes on, I'll just go a little bit further here. He said in verse 4, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience and afflictions, in necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Can you see, you know, somebody's life is filled with things where they're trying to live right and represent their Savior right. And when curveballs come and when storms blow, they do the best they can to still be a good steward of the grace of God that the Lord's given them opportunity to have. It goes on to add, by the word of truth, verse 7, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, either way it comes, I'm supposed to be a good steward. Take your Bibles over to Titus, book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Now notice, we'll pick up here, but we'll go backwards in a sec. It says verse 11, for the grace of God, there it is, right? That bringeth salvation. So this is about salvation, true enough. Hath appeared to all men, but grace also teaches something else. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You've been made stewards of the grace of God. What the grace of God is supposed to do is to push you towards the right kind of living. Now, it says in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, but he's just talked about some other things. He said, for instance, we ought to have in verse 8 sound speech that cannot be condemned. Well, it's still talking about the grace of God, although it hasn't been mentioned just yet, but that's what we should be doing. You know, your speech should align itself with the Bible. Your speech should align itself with the Holy Spirit. You've been made a steward of the manifold grace of God, and God has given you the grace, and He's given you the opportunity to live right, the right kind of living. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants, oh boy, to be obedient to their own masters and please him well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, that is, not stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Your life, our lives, we've been given so much grace as Christians. Our lives should adorn the doctrine of God. And we should be an ornament on that, that makes the doctrine of God more beautiful. Right? Let me show you another verse. We read this earlier, but Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I know there's some dispensational things here in this in Hebrews, but looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know you're defiled by things happening to you and you getting bitter about it, right? And you don't have to walk very far to find some people that are bitter about things, okay? But the grace of God is manifested in your life, and it implores you, since God was so gracious to you to save you and to call you and to give you something to do, which we'll touch in a second, that you ought to live right. You would be a good steward if you took the grace God gave you and lived right with it. And again, sometimes these days it seems like folks are more interested in living wrong than living right. It ought not be so. Look on down in chapter 12, verse 28, where it says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed. You've been born again into the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is within you, right? Okay, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The grace of God really ought to change your life. It really should. Let's roll back to Ephesians chapter 4 again for just a second before we move to the next thing. Ephesians chapter 4. And this time go all the way down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Your focus should be, when you speak, excuse me, ministering grace to the hearers. And this again is the grace of God given you that you might live right. And you're a good steward if you do. And you're a bad steward if you don't. Right? It's really that simple. Now there's a whole bunch of things in this passage before this, because you know, you go up to verse 24, put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. All those are really good ideas. Because God has given you grace. And that grace ought to change your life. It ought to change the way you live. Let me point out another category to you real quick. Go back, if you will, to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. I just got interested in, since grace is always kind of viewed as a salvation thing, I got interested in the grace that God bestows upon us, that He makes us stewards of, that don't have to do necessarily with primarily salvation. In Acts chapter 14, you read this. Acts chapter 14, go on down to verse 26. We can start in verse 24. This is some of Paul's travels. After they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence, so the church at Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now this is Paul and Paul and Barnabas, and the church of Antioch sent them out on these missionary journeys, right? No, but it doesn't phrase it that way. It says, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They were recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Sounds to me like the grace of God is an opportunity to do something, along with help to do it. I mean, the church says, yeah, we recommend that you go and do these missionary journeys. We recommend that. And in doing so, they recommended them to the grace of God. The grace of God is a place where you get a chance to do something for God. Look at the same thing, kind of the way it's phrased. Look in Acts 15. Acts 15, down in verse 40. Now, this is after Paul and Barnabas kind of broke up. So, Barnabas took John Mark, rather, and Paul took Silas. So, in verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren, once again, unto the grace of God. Okay, folks, that grace of God is the opportunity to do something. Now, you saw it a little bit this morning. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's what I closed with this morning on the final point in the sermon this morning. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, this passage about Paul being the master builder and us being all builders and workers together, laborers together with God. Notice in verse 10, let me start in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles, and he said he's made me a master builder in this whole picture of this temple, this mighty temple being built. But he said that it's given me the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder. Paul was given the grace of God to do the work. I'm just saying that the grace of God provides you an opportunity. It's an ability to do something. You know, the first time that grace is used, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Right? I got news for you. Noah needed all the grace he could have. Because if you think that grace doesn't have anything to do with work, Noah flat sure worked. Is that right? So the grace of God is not just salvation where it's by grace through faith plus nothing. The grace of God is God giving you opportunity to do something and then strengthening you and giving you the ability to follow it through in life. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. Galatians 2, start with verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they also to the circumcision. He said, there was special grace that was given to me to go to the Gentiles. Well, I bet culturally it did take special grace because Gentiles aren't like Jews. I'd have a hard time going to Jews because Jews aren't like me. But can you see that grace was given Paul as an opportunity to minister to the Gentiles? And it was also giving him the ability to be able to do so. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I just would like for you to think a little differently about the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter, 15, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. And notice what Paul says here. Talking about how he saw Jesus Christ. And last of all, he was seen of me, verse 8, also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay, what is he? Well, he's saved. That's true. He's also the apostle to the Gentiles. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, the Lord gives you something to do. He gave you the Great Commission. That's by the grace of God. And he gives you the opportunity to spread it. That's the grace of God. Okay. You know, years and years we went by here, and like I said, it was sometimes difficult enough to get a visitor to come that you felt like you couldn't even go out and hold out $20 bills to hire them to come in and sit. And now we have visitors just about every week. You know, what is that? It's the grace of God. It's an opportunity. Certainly nothing I control. You look at what Campaigns for Christ has done. And, you know, just the open doors basically all around the world. What is that? Well, that's God honoring faithfulness through the years and a lot of other things, but it's the grace of God. He gives you opportunity. And then Dave is always praying for grace to get through a campaign because of all the pressure and all the stuff that happens. And somehow he always comes through the campaigns. I wonder why. Because he received the grace of God. It's the grace of God is not just the opportunity, it's the ability to go through something. Now let me show you another little something here. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't have that many more left, so just hang in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians 8:1. The grace of God in the Christian life has to do with differing gifts and how you use those gifts. And it is given to you so that if you are a good steward, you can live right. And it is God giving you the opportunity and the capacity to do something for Him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So we want you to get this. We want you to understand it. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." So we do you to wit of the grace of God. We want you to understand the grace of God, what it did here, how that for this church in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And he said, now, these folks wanted to help us. They wanted to help us get the gospel out, and they wanted to help us personally. And I want you to know what the grace of God did. He said, those people were in great affliction, verse 2, a great trial of affliction. And nevertheless, they were abundantly joyful, but they were also deeply poor, deep poverty, right? But their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, what that is, that's sufficiency to abound, sufficiency to serve. Sufficiency, even though you're poor and even though you're afflicted, to still be a help to somebody else, to still get the gospel to somebody else. And, you know, Paul said, these people were a great help to us. It's sufficiency to abound. It's when you don't have any money and you don't have any talent, and you just don't know how this will work. And besides that, you have this happening, and that happening, and this happening. So how could I be a help to anyone? Yet, you want to be a help to somebody, and God gives you the grace to do so. And by the time it turns out, it's like you had all the resources in the world. And really, isn't that the truth? Isn't that really for us in America? I mean, we talk about a shortage of money, but none of us are starving to death. You know, we talk about, you know, well, we just don't have the money to pay the bills and all that, but you waste money on other stuff. My point is, even if it were true that you had no money, if you wanted to serve God, God would give you the grace out of your poverty and out of your affliction to still do something for Him. That's one of the roles that the grace of God has in the Christian life. Let me show you this one now. We've discussed this in part a couple of different times, but I didn't want to skip over it tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Paul has been blinded on his on the road to Damascus as he was converted. He's struggled for a long time with that blindness, and he's begged God to please take the blindness away. He would, after all, be a much greater, much better, much more useful, efficient apostle if he could see, do his own writing, and not have somebody have to lead him around, right? Verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh." We believe that to be his blindness, his eyes. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me this, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, that comes pretty close to saying that God's grace is strength. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay? So I want to say it's help in trouble. It's help in trouble when you don't have any strength and you don't know how you're going to do this. I call to your mind once again the martyrs that died and how can somebody put up with 4 or 5 days of torture and not give up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's hard for us to imagine, right? Because, people that do this interrogation stuff said that anybody will break with enough torture. But so many of those martyrs didn't. Well, what is that? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's just that. And so Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Let me show you something else. I'm talking about help in trouble here. In Hebrews chapter 4, notice, and we did cover this last Sunday, but I'll just hit it swiftly here so that we don't leave anything out, so that anybody here that wasn't aware is aware that there is a treasury laid up of grace to help you when you're sick, to help you when you don't know what to do, to help you when you're bereaved, to help you when you're broken and you just don't know how you're going to go on. I want you to know that there's grace in the Christian life for that. God gives you grace. And that's really the only answer there can be. You'll notice here in chapter 4, Hebrews 4, down in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace," talking about prayer here, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Grace to help. And another verse that flows with this, again, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're getting close to being done now, so just be patient with me. 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice down in verse 10. Okay, but the God of all grace, which hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, just notice what precedes this. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking him who may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but God, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Okay, I just want to say that there is help in trouble. That help comes through the grace of God. And if you've ever wondered, again, how somebody gets a horrific illness, a diagnosis, a health diagnosis, you know, how they get through that, because there are things that I think that if I heard just me with no grace, I think it would shatter me, right? Can't you think of some things that you would very much dread to hear? But people do get through it. And I've known Christians that get through it, and they get through it with joy. Now, how does that happen? It happens because of the grace of God. Not just the grace that saves, but the grace that strengthens. A grace that helps. Now, I'm almost done here. Let me just show you a handful of other things, and this will fall under something general. Look in Romans chapter 16 real fast. Just four or five more real quick, and then we're done. But I know this, you are called to be a steward of the grace of God. And God's laid up a treasury in this life of grace for you. Boy, has He given you opportunity. Right? In the main, hasn't He given you a pretty fair ability to do what you wish to do? Why wouldn't you want to be a steward of the grace of God and make sure you're doing the right thing with that bestowment? In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, Paul is, I said last week that Paul's always introducing his epistles with, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he almost always closes with something like verse 20. Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Then again in verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He just generally tags it on at the end. Oh yeah, guys, and the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's how he closes. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Look in 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The grace of God be with you. The grace of God go with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know what that is? That's general insurance. That's all the stuff in life that, you know, he doesn't bother to list off. But, you know, that's you going out to your car and, you know, a flat. Off you go into the house and storm around and throw a butter knife at your wife or something because, you know, anyway. What you don't know is that if you'd gone out and gotten in your car and driven out like you normally do. Well, there was a drunk truck driver on the road, and y'all would have wound up on 694 at the same time. But that's the grace of God. Paul said there's all kinds of circumstances, there's all kinds of things that happen in life. And there are some things that can only be the grace and mercy of God. It's just true. My dad used to leave me in the field young. I mean, I've told you this. Either plowing or disking or raking hay or something like that. And I'll never forget, he left me in the field one day and the tractor broke down. And there was an old green Ford pickup truck that was sitting in the field there. And I didn't know, you know, we'd driven it around a bunch and all that stuff. I didn't know that it was sitting in the field because the brakes were gone. And I could drive from the field to the house with no problem. And so at about 8 years old, I get in the truck and leave the field. The truck starts to head down to the house and head down to the dairy barn to see if Dad was down there. And when I got ready to hit the brakes, I mean, there were no brakes. I turned into the dairy barn and I passed through a metal fence between the dairy barn itself and the propane tank, which was about the size of a hippopotamus. Drove between those two with this much space on each side, crashed into a feed tank, which if it had been full, would have crashed over onto me. This thing was 35 feet high. But since it was empty, it crashed the other way. Now that's not because of my excellent coordination. That's because of the grace of God. Just got to Bible school in Pensacola in, had to be 83. And got up to go to work. I needed to run down the road to use the phone or something. Anyway, long story short. But anyway, it was a really foggy morning. And so I'm in my little Pontiac Sunbird. It's sitting about this high off the ground. And look this way, that way, it's really foggy. So I look that way and look this way, and it's clear. And I pull out, and by the time I look back this way, there are lights this tall, I mean, at this height, fog lights coming at me. I mean, they're right there. Some big old guys in some big old mudder truck with four-wheel drive, and, you know, it's jacked up real high. I've got these big, big fog lights on it, and I couldn't see it because it was that foggy. How that guy got that truck stopped, I don't have a single clue, except for the grace of God. Now, I don't know how many close calls you've had in life, and maybe there are better stories to tell about all this stuff, but ladies and gentlemen, the grace of God is just good general insurance. Because there's lots of things that you can't think about covering for yourself. Now, I will give you this one last thing. Look in James 4, and then I'll be done. James 4 and 1 Peter 5. But James 4. And it says in verse 6, but he, God, giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. I just want to say, you get more grace by being humble than you do by being proud. So if you ever find yourself climbing a little too tall, if you're getting a little big for your britches, it's better that you trim yourself down than God have to trim you down. Because I tell you what, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself of the grace of God. And may we all be good stewards of the grace of God. Amen. Let's look at number 209.